This morning, we're going to continue our Advent series asking, who is this king? And we're asking it from the context of Isaiah. And it will be in Isaiah chapter 11 this morning. We're going to look at verses 1 through 10. So I'm going to start off by just reading this for us. We'll put it up on the screen if you'd like. If you want to follow along in your pew Bible, it's going to be page 558. So once again, this is Isaiah chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. It says, "A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, as we look at your text this morning, we want to see our King. We want to see him as he is, as we can know him today. And so we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would give us that through the power of your Spirit. We want to know you. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm sure this is a little different for everyone. I was trying to think, what is the picture we begin the season of Christmas with, right? Like, what are we thinking of? Like, you know, we're at the beginning of Advent. Where do we want to get to by the end of this time? And I think if we're being honest, most of us kind of have a picture like this, right? We think friends, family, fellowship, two meats on the table.
Oh, yeah.
But if we're being honest, the picture that starts developing of Christmas probably looks a little bit more like this. And if you've developed your online shopping savviness, it probably looks a little bit more like this. Anybody been staring at this screen a lot the last 2 weeks? Oh, yeah. It's a little bit silly, but according to a study on Statista.com, 93% of online shoppers in the U.S. plan to buy presents from Amazon this year. You know, you don't have to do math long into the night to realize this screen is probably more ubiquitous with the holiday season than all of the Christmas movies put together. Think about that. I want to give us a different picture of Christmas this morning, though. It is not a Christmas picture per se, but it certainly gets to the point. This is William Hicks's Peaceable Kingdom, which is modeled after his interpretation of Isaiah 11, which we just read. You can see, you know, the wolf shall live with the lamb there. You can see that the leopard shall lie down with the kid. If you could just, you know, this is kind of like a Where's Waldo. You just kind of find the animal on there. Can you spot the calf and the lion feeding together? There they are, right in the middle. And a little child in the upper right-hand corner will lead them. You can see him pointing the direction there. Hicks was a Quaker minister in the early to mid-1800s. He actually painted about 62 different versions of this, of just the peaceable kingdom. Just he kept kind of painting it and repainting different versions of it. And this one
is odd. He does this with a couple of them, but if you can see in the background there, you see these statesmen and Native Americans. Actually, what he's painting there is the Treaty of William Penn, sometimes referred to as the Great Treaty. This was between Penn and the Native American chiefs of the Delaware tribes. And it was really, it's just a beautiful treaty in the sense that it was about, if you were to go back and look at some of the words that they believe were spoken, it was really about love and respect of one another and to live in just deep peace. And it was conferred verbally. It's been referred to as the only treaty never sworn to and never broken. It's real peace. Real peace. And so he paints that in there as this kind of contemporary moment, right? That the peace of the Messiah has yet to bring and yet it's kind of breaking forth right in our midst. We can see it. We can see this peace happening in our midst, right where we are. Can Christmas, this time of the year that's often marked more by weariness and stress than insurmountable peace, can it be a reality for us this year? This year? Do we have to wait till the peaceable kingdom arrives in full? I believe it can. And we're going to see this in our passage. We can't do it in our own strength, though. It really does take a spirit-filled king to bring it about. To help us understand this a bit this morning, this is a point where we need to talk about the kings, just a little bit, not an in-depth study of who the kings of Israel are. We'd be here all day. But let's talk about a couple, because who remembers, who's the first king of Israel? Say him out loud. Saul, first king. He was the king that everybody wanted when they just decided, we need a king. And God said, I don't think that's such a great idea. And they're like, it's a great idea. And so they get Saul. Was Saul a great idea? No, he wasn't the best of ideas. But he was followed up by probably the greatest king ever in Israel, which was who? David, yeah, the original son of Jesse. When we read our passage, it says a branch from the root of Jesse. This is that king, David. In David's reign, Israel really entered its golden age. And I think we can say of all Israel's kings, David radically understood and cherished God's presence through his spirit more than any other king. Just radically understood that. It's David who pens in Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And then get this, cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. David understood this well before the new covenant, just the power and presence of God's spirit in his life. When our text in Isaiah says, a shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him. This is undoubtedly an understanding of a king who will operate in the power and presence of God's Holy Spirit, just like and beyond David. Well, then who comes after David? Solomon, King Solomon, the wise. Well, you know, Solomon doesn't finish as strong as his predecessor and his father, David. And from that point forward, really is the downturn of kings in Israel and Judah. They get pretty bad, actually. And they stay bad for a very long time. Until this one guy comes along. And he's good.
He's real good.
It's a guy by the name of King Hezekiah. Now, his father, Ahaz, he was awful. I mean, just awful. Awful for the faith, awful in just so many ways. But then Hezekiah comes along, and he brings reform to the people of God. He gets rid of all the idols. He restores worship in the temple. He gets the Levitical priesthood back into shape, which is no short order to get a bunch of pastors back into shape. I'll tell you that right now. But that's what he does. And he restores all the feasts. It starts feeling like the, you know, like the faith of old. Like, wow, we're really connecting back to God. Will this be the king that brings permanent peace and the end of striving and weariness? They sure thought so. Remember a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about messianic prophecy. It has a current fulfillment and a future fulfillment. Well, Hezekiah was kind of that current fulfillment. He exercised those gifts. By the way, it's worth saying, Isaiah 11, for the longest time, when people talked about gifts of the Spirit, they talked about the seven gifts of Isaiah 11. Those were the original gifts of the Spirit before New Testament. And this guy seemed to have them all, right? Wise, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and fear of the Lord. Is this the guy? He feels like the guy. But let me ask you, did Hezekiah bring everlasting peace? No. No, he didn't. There was a time, but it didn't last. We're still working, even today, through the complications of a broken world. It's what I love about Advent. It asks the great questions, right? And one of the greatest, we sing it in O Holy Night, you know, the thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices. I love that line. A weary world rejoices, because it begs the question, where have you been taking your weariness up to this point this year? What's been your response to anxiety this year? Who do you turn to when you realize that you don't have enough because of what life has set before you? You don't have what it takes. So where do you go? These are Advent questions. In other words, who do you turn to for peace? I think the season, it measures it so well because it's just so full. Our schedules are so full. The expectations are so full. We feel it. And if not this Christmas, don't worry, it's coming. That weariness, that anxiety, that striving, feeling like we just can't do enough. And that's just buying Christmas presents, right? I'm going to be extremely honest with us for just a moment. Is that okay? Can I take preacher's privileges? Okay. You know what I think we do when we hit those moments? I think the sin du jour for our culture is distraction. When we get the weariness, the anxiety, we distract ourselves. We try to numb it away. And there's also, I was going to sit here and start listing. As I was working on something, I was like, oh, let me think of a good list. And I was like, oh, we'll be here all day. Because we are not low of distractions, are we? They are everywhere. And they are in abundance. And you know your heart's favorites. Now, most of them in themselves are not bad things. Some of them are actually gifts, joys. But they become those unholy distractions when we hit that moment of weariness or anxiety and we turn to it instead of the only one who really has the power to deliver on peace. They don't have it, do they? That's why we keep coming back over and over. And when that one doesn't work, we go to the next one, or we go bigger, or we spend more money to try to make it grander. It was great for that first couple of weeks. Now it's got to get a little better because it's not working anymore. It's not helping me get past my weariness. There's only one who really has that power. In Isaiah's writing, the hope was that Israel would find that in the fallenness and brokenness of the world, there was really only one real source of deliverance, of peace. And one day he would come in a way that left no discussion as to his power and strength, because he would be a Spirit-filled king, right? He'd be operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, capable of righteousness and faithfulness the likes of the world had never seen. And we know the story, don't we? He comes as a human baby. The Messiah enters the world and the Spirit rests upon him. And the power that he displays through the work of the Spirit, it's miraculous, amen? It just is. It's all you could say. It's just miraculous. It speaks of a kingdom that is not yet, but it's coming. And it's a power, though, that he also displays through his disciples, doesn't he? He gives it to them. He gives it by works of gifts. There's a great biblical scholar who says this more beautifully than I, but it's thick and it's dense. So can you stick with me for a minute? You might have to read it on the screen. It's a thick quote, but it's just rich. Let me put it up here for us. He says, "Now, hence we infer that the spiritual kingdom of Christ was formerly promised to the ancient people." These are the people that Isaiah's talking to, right? "Because his whole strength, power, and majesty is here made to consist in the gifts of the Spirit. Although Christ was not deficient in the gifts of this kind, yet as he took upon him our flesh," and listen to this part, "it was necessary that he should be enriched with them, that we might afterwards be made partakers of all blessings of which otherwise we are destitute. For out of his fullness," as John says, "we must draw as from a fountain." Any guesses on who said that? Oh, he's my favorite. John Calvin. John, you know I was going to quote John Calvin. John Calvin is my absolute favorite theologian of the Holy Spirit. He's great. It's just wonderful. He puts into words what he's often referred to as the theologian of the Spirit, which is unfortunate because his personal experience was in conflict with kind of the abuses of the papacy of his day. But he puts into words so beautifully what is reality. He even goes on to just sum this up by saying, let me find it on my screen here. Oh, I can't find it. I lost it. Oh, there it is. Okay. "Besides, as he came down to us, so he received the gifts of the Spirit that he might bestow them upon us." In other words, the Spirit-filled King comes and bestows that impossible power upon us that we may do what we do not have in our own strength to do, whatever that be. Church, the Spirit-filled King is the one who meets us in the weary moments where we realize I don't have what it takes and brings the peace in ways that we could never do in our own strength. I'm going to give a little testimony here. I try to leave my kids out of my sermons as much as possible, especially real life stuff, but this one was too good. And I've just learned that when these kind of things happen, gosh, it's just better to talk about it than to not. So a couple weeks ago, our family had its own weary moment where we didn't have what it takes. As you may know, there's just this awful flu going around mixed with other things. I think there might be 5 versions of it, actually. I don't know. Anyways, our son happened to get it, and he's a little guy. He's 9, and he was out for a couple days. And then right as the flu was subsiding, he started getting this crick in his neck, and it just locked like that for days, like just could not get rid of it. And this is over Thanksgiving break, so he's really upset. There's nothing he could do. You might have seen him come in Sunday morning. He's just kind of walking around like this. He's going to look pathetic. And we were doing everything we knew what to do, but there's just, you know, we iced it, we hot showers, hot compress, rubbed on it. It was just not going away. And he was getting weary. And then, you know, as he gets, the more weary he gets, the more weary we start to get. It just starts getting hard every day. Well, our biggest, you know, it's silly, but our biggest concern is we wanted him to sing in the Christmas service. That was our big thing. We wanted him to sing in the Christmas service. And Monday, it's still going. And we had a session meeting that night. People had started praying for him on Sunday, and we were seeing a little relief, and we're like, is it just going away, or is it prayer? What's going on here? Monday night, a session meeting, we were just praying for individuals in the church, and they prayed for Patrick, and just prayed for healing. And I got home that night, but it was late, so I didn't see him. And the next morning, I get up really early, and so I'd been up for a couple hours, and he comes flying down the steps, as he is prone to do. You know, we've learned who is coming down the steps by the speed. And he comes just, you know, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, just, and I'm like, "Patrick, how is your neck feeling?" "Oh," does this a few times. "It's fine." It's like, "Really?" And I said, said, Patrick, did you know that the elders last night prayed for you to be healed? And his eyes just, you know, got big. And he just says, wow. Wow, indeed. Wow, indeed. And I know, hey, worldview aside, I'm just learning to say praise God when these happen because I don't have any other answer. It had been a week. Praise God when these things happen. And so our little weary world rejoiced that morning. That goes without saying. So I come back to this picture of the peaceable kingdom with William Hicks. And once again, I love that he paints in the William Penn Treaty right there. It's his way of displaying the kingdom of God coming together with our moments right here on earth. I think we've spoken before. Rebecca's grandmother just was a wonderful artist. She painted her own version of the peaceable kingdom. I've seen it. It's at my in-law's house. It's beautiful. But what she did is she actually painted her own children into the picture. Talk about intercessory painting, right? You could just see the desire of a mother right there. I want to ask you all this morning, who or what would be in your peaceable kingdom right now? Who would you paint into it? What would you paint into it? Where are you aching to see the Spirit of God enter into your life in a way that you can't do it on your own? You've tried. Where do you need to see the Spirit-filled King step in and say, I've given you everything you need. I have not left you barren. I've given you my Spirit. Who would you paint? What would you paint? Where are you being given faith, even this morning, to believe that for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn? So fall on your knees and tell him, I need you. I need you. I need you. Jesus, you're my greatest hope. Friends, this is the kind of season that enables us to see that, I think, clearer than most. Let me pray for us this morning. Spirit-filled King, Heavenly Messiah, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, we come to you this morning and we come in honesty saying, Lord, we actually don't have it all together. Some days we have it more than others, but we don't have it all together. And Father, wherever there are those places in our lives right now where the weariness is seeping in, where the anxiety, we've tried to distract ourselves, but it just comes back every night. Where in our humanity we're being shown we don't have everything that it takes. Christ, I pray that you would give each one of us the faith we need to say, I need you. I need you. Spirit of God, would you come? Would you bring healing where there's healing needed? Would you bring peace where peace is needed? Would you bring even a fresh anointing of gifts that I need for this season right now? Those places that I don't have what it takes, then would you do in me what it takes? Lord Jesus, we'll give you the glory for it. We know better. We've seen too much. We know when praise is due. And so we just say it on the front end. Praise be to your name, Spirit-filled King, Root of Jesse. It's in your name we pray this, Jesus. Amen.